Willkommen zu einer neuen Folge von Metal Minds, The Pit Unplugged, dem offiziellen Podcast von Metal.de. Mein Name ist Diana Heinbucher und ich führe euch durch diesen Pit. Und heute habe ich die Ehre, mit einer der spannendsten Stimmen der modernen Metal-Szene zu sprechen, könnte man so sagen. Ich sage das jetzt immer so und das ist Melissa Bonny von Ad Infinitum. Und Ad Infinitum haben sich ja in den letzten Jahren mit ihrem einzigartigen Mix aus Symphonic Metal, Modern Core Elementen und melodischen Hooks einen festen Platz in der Metal-Szene erarbeitet. Ihr aktuelles Album Abyss zeigt uns eindrucksvoll, wie vielseitig und mutig diese Band ihren Sound weiterentwickelt hat. Und ich spreche heute nicht nur über die Entstehung dieses Albums und die Herausforderungen, die damit einhergingen, sondern wir sprechen auch über Melissas Erfahrungen als Frau in der Metal-Szene, über die Höhen und Tiefen des Musikerlebens und die kreative Dynamik hinter den Songs. Den Podcast haben wir bereits am 15.02. aufgenommen, als Ad Infinitum gemeinsam mit Infected Rain und Elvati im F-Haus in Jena gespielt haben. Der Podcast ist heute auf Englisch und wir starten einfach direkt. Also ich freue mich total, dass Melissa heute mein Gast ist und sich die Zeit in Jena nimmt. Herzlich willkommen im Metal Minds Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
How are you today? You are in the final stage of a big European tour.
Mm-hmm. I'm great. I'm a little tired, both happy and sad to go home because it was a really, really nice tour with only nice people and fun crowds, fun shows. So yeah, but yeah, tired.
I keep hearing different stories about the everyday life on tour. Mm-hmm. What does your everyday look like during the tour?
Well, I'm not living a rock star life and nobody in the band is, so it's very structured days with all the tasks that relate to the day, load in, preparing the stuff, sound check, meet and greet, the show, and all the little things that happen that we need to fix every day. The normal tour schedule, and then after the show we can relax and we can have a good time with the people on tour, and especially this time we're playing first, so then we have a lot of time to enjoy watching the other bands, have a bit of food and maybe share a drink together. So that's what we do, and the funny thing is that the schedule is completely turned around compared to when we're home, so everything starts a bit later, and even though it's now it's I think 3 p.m, I still feel like it's 8 in the morning.
Then good morning, Melissa.
Good morning.
And it sounds very stressy, I think. How you create little places to rest?
I think it's it depends on where we play and how the venues are, and also taking a little time to make a little home on the bus. Sometimes during the day I try to find a little place to work on music, and to make a little cozy space. And also on the bus, I think we all have our little things that make us feel home. Also, you know, we all have a bunk, and I have a book, and some friends offered me a Harry Potter lamp that changes colors, and it's little things that make you feel like cozy.
Okay, but it's good to have, because if there are so many things you need to do and to be present, and so it's so important to have a little place to come down and
to be
close to yourself.
Absolutely,
Okay, and last year in October your album Abyss was released, and if I trust the release calendar, you released directly after the album a 4-track EP, is it right? Or is there because it shows me that there was on the 10th album, and after this the EP.
No. I think it was just sometimes on Spotify it shows EP when we release singles, but no, we just released the album.
Okay,
it was enough.
Yeah, I also ask myself why they do this.
No. I think it's just a display sometimes on some platforms.
Yeah. Okay. So then, let us talk about the album. What's the story of Abyss?
So with Abyss, we wanted to change a bit the recipe compared to the previous albums. Previous albums were very, you know, storytelling about history and some themes that inspired us. And with Abyss, we went more personal experiences, both with the music and the lyrics. And what we wanted to do and what we are doing is we wanted to do a new trilogy like we did for the first three records, but inspired by, you know, the everyday life situations and feelings that I believe everyone experiences. And Abyss is the one that focuses more on the deepest part of the challenges that we face in life, the self doubt, the second guessing, and the place where it's dark but you kind of aim for the light.
Yeah. Why it's important to talk openly about these topics like self doubt.
I have two answers. For me personally, it's important to, you know, let it out and not to keep it inside. And for me as a musician, when I'm speaking about the lyrics, I think it's important to also address these topics so people have songs to relate to. And it's crazy because I think it's the first time we release an album, there's so many people who are like, this song really hit home because I felt like this, or I went through that, etc. And this is like a way to connect with people who enjoy our music in a deeper level.
Yeah, because I think every one of us have from time to time self-doubts. And it's so important to let also the people, they are very, they keep their questions and their thoughts inside.
Yeah.
To show these people it's quite normal to have self-doubts or other struggles. It's,
yes, absolutely. Yeah. I think also growing up, whenever, I don't know, I think about my teenage years when I was going through something and I found a song that I related to, it helps also to see that, yeah, I don't know, an artist that I liked, for example, could relate to what I was feeling. It makes you feel less alone, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you for this very deep record.
Of course.
We live in a very fast-paced time, and many bands tell me about the enormous release pressure, be it to release a new song every 6 weeks or to crack the algorithm on the streaming platforms or on social media. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about this?
I feel like it's difficult, especially you mentioned social media. I feel like it's kind of a swim against the current to try to get your stuff seen by the fans. Because, for example, there are lots of releases that I was not aware of because Instagram decided that it was not part of the things to highlight for me. And same goes with every platform. And I feel like bands now have to be not only musicians, but marketing experts, social media managers, and all that. You know, we have to create a lot of content on top of the music. And on top of this, there are so many bands right now and so many artists that it's tough. But I feel like for us, it's been very important to stay true to ourselves and to write the music first for ourselves, because we're the ones who for sure will hear it.
Yeah.
And then to do our best to spread it with the world.
Yeah. It's that thing that you addressed, to do something on social media, it's the creator thing.
Yeah.
And you're not a creator, you are a musician.
Yeah.
And it's quite hard to, because the stories that you tell, they are about music.
Yes.
And it's so hard to, and everybody said they want to crack the algorithm up, but it's I don't know. It's not okay to say that the algorithm say this is important and this not. And
it's an ever-evolving thing. For example, at some point, Instagram, for example, was pushing videos, and then it's going to push something different. And you have always to adapt to this while doing your actual work, which is interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, and what about the release pressure about music?
Yeah. Yeah, this is also something that's very different. I feel like bands, including us, release more often. I don't know. I remember a time where bands would take 3 to 5 years between albums, and I never questioned it. But now I feel like for us it would be wrong to wait so long for some reason. And I see also a lot of artists who start to, you know, release more singles or release all the songs as singles and then announce an album, or you'll change the recipe to maybe keep people's interest or to stay in the spotlight perhaps. There's a lot of, you know, the TikTok effect where people's attention has to be captured in the first few seconds or it's gone. And this is the scary part, especially because we spend a lot of time working on all the songs of the album. So it's you can clearly see when you look at, for example, the statistics of Spotify, for example, you can clearly see that the singles have a lot more plays than the album tracks, which is translated by a lot of people not diving into it. So it's probably why people, musicians, start to release more videos or more focused tracks to show the entirety of their work, to adapt to the way people listen to music these days.
Yeah, I think that it's a very big challenge, because I also know bands, they release nearly all tracks of their record, and then I think there's nothing to go into the new record then if the album is ready.
True,
there
absolutely
is no interest in it.
Yeah,
but the singles, as you said, they get every single get more attention. And the other way is that we have, I talked a few days ago to a band, and they told me that the statistics for their streaming, they have a band break for 5 years, and then they come back. And he said they see that during these 5 years, the streaming statistics was very high. And this was a reason why they say, okay, let's start again, because that we are still relevant and the people listen to us even if there nothing new is in. And yeah, I don't know. And I also said to him then, but maybe this shows us that we don't need this pressure to release every 6 week a new singer.
I think it depends on so many things. I can think about a band. I don't know. Maybe we're talking about the same band. I can think about a band who took a break of approximately also 5 years, but they built a strong community also before COVID, and they had a very strong album. And I feel like the community spirit was so strong that people really kept it almost as part of their identity to be fans of this band. And there's something stronger than marketing and releasing again and again and again.
I also think sometimes that's special with fans of rock music or metal music, that they are more fans by heart. They have more connections to the music.
Yes.
Yeah. But it would be very cool if every person they listen to music can build up such a strong connection to music, because music is so beautiful.
Yes, for me, every time an artist that I like releases an album, if I like the singles, I have to hear everything. Yeah. I cannot just listen to the singles and leave the rest of the album.
Yeah, I'm also a big fan of albums, because the most records tell us a story.
Yes.
And this is, it's not every song is on its own. The whole thing is a story we need to discover.
Yes,
But sometimes it gets lost in this fast time.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah. Okay, it's your fifth studio album.
If you count the acoustic album, yes.
Okay, and how does the creative process change over the time?
So the first album, I started writing it pretty much on my own, and then sending things to a producer, and he would rewrite the parts that, you know, I'm not a guitar player or a drummer or a bass player, so I was sending demos, and he was rewriting those parts in a way that would fit the person who would record the final tracks. And then the guys joined the band, and then we started writing together, but remotely. And then we changed this process, I think it was for the third record. We started to actually rent a house somewhere and meet for a week and write together. We would bring demos. We would also start songs from scratch. And we realized that the strongest material we had was written like this. So now that's what we do when we want to write music. We rent a place somewhere in the middle of all of us, somewhere in Germany or in Denmark. And we meet for a week, and we write music, and we cook, and we play games, and it's just, it's perfect. It's a very strong experience as a band.
Yeah. Sometimes some bands tell me that they do some writing camps.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And I think it's very cool because you don't have the daily business around you. You can focus still on only on music, and it's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, we do this, and it's like this bubble of creativity. There's nothing else, and this all of us and ideas bounce from one person to another, and it's just creates a song. And we do this a few times because in 1 week you cannot write an entire. I mean, you could probably write, but we like to take a bit more time. And it's always a really interesting experience, and we all grow as songwriters together, learning from each other.
Yeah, great. And you tell me that it's still a little learning history during this process. Mm-hmm. You start in another way how you do it now. But were there moments during the process of Abyss where you think they are challenged you and you think, oh, the next time we don't do it again?
I think what the biggest challenge for all of us was that the deadline for the recordings was very close. We thought we would be done earlier, so we already booked the studio, and then we felt like we would have loved a little bit more time to finalize in a relaxing way. So it was a bit of a challenge at the end to finish the last songs to be ready for the studio, and that's something that we learned from already. Now we have a schedule that is much more relaxed for the next record.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Melissa, I'd like to talk about one more topic where I think every time we speak about it, it's hard because, it's the topic about a woman in the music scene. Mm-hmm. And every time we talk about, we get to know there are women and they need to get heard, and there would be done something, but in truth, I don't know if it's true.
Yeah.
How is that? From all sides, you are here in a very male dominant branch. How is for you as a woman?
I think now it's easier for me. When I started, I felt a lot of pressure to prove myself. To prove that, there were all these stereotypes like, oh, you're a female singer, so you must be a princess or diva, etc. So I felt like I felt very pressured in the beginning to prove that I can be treated the same as the guys, which is in a way stupid because we're not the same. I was carrying the heavy stuff, and I even hurt myself once because I was like, no, I can do it. They can do it. I can do it. I can prove that I'm not a princess. And then it was just stupid because I hurt myself. Mm-hmm. But I felt very pressured to show, like, all these stereotypes didn't apply to me. And this was a difficult start. Now I feel like it's very different. Also, you know, like, with the singing and the screaming, there was a lot of judgment until I got more established, and a lot of comparison. And this is something that I still feel today. Like, I see a lot of comparison between female singers, which I don't see or don't see as much with male artists. And this is the part that frustrates me still to this day a little bit, because it creates a bit of an unhealthy atmosphere, which is unnecessary, because when we go on tour, we're all friends, and there's no, you know, like, we lift each other up, we all have our personality, our voices, and this goes also for female instrumentalists. Yeah, so, yeah, this is the part that I feel like is still to this day, annoys me a bit, but yeah, I think it's just important to as women, to connect with each other and lift each other up and see that everyone can shine.
Yeah, and do you think that there are some hurdles we need to address more? You said the that there are some stereotypes, or you charged with stereotypes, or maybe if you are on a big festival, there are also very male-dominant place. Mm. And
well, I don't really follow the bookings of each festivals, but I remember watching one particular lineup. I think it was a couple of years ago, and I was like, "Huh, there's not a lot of female musicians there," mm-hmm. and it's just a little bit sad. But on the other hand, I also see that tendencies are changing, and there's a lot of more women also picking up all instruments.
Yes,
and I feel like seeing this, younger women will also be like, "Oh, I can be a drummer, I can be a bass player, I can be a guitar player, or whatever." So I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, lineups at festivals with a lot more women on stage.
Yeah, yeah. My daughter is also a bass player.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh. And every time I find a woman, they are play the bass, the bass guitar. I show her and she, yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Are there some women out there, they inspire you in being a musician?
Oh, plenty. And I mean, throughout my career, there's been points where a particular woman inspired me and it changed something in the way I did things. For example, years ago, I discovered Camelot, and there was this song Sacrimony with Elise and Alyssa, and this is the point where I was like, okay, screams can sound really cool, because before this I was not into this too much, because I was like, I don't understand what they're saying. And then I heard this, and I heard Alyssa, and I got interested in what she was doing. Back then she was in the Agonist still, I think, and I was like, oh, I want to learn this. So that was one of the turning points. Then there were other women like Lindsay Sterling and Cobra Page, who are both bus ladies, and they're like, you know, Cobra, she created Cobra and the Lotus. And at that point, I was inspired to create my own band, because I had joined bands before, but I was like, it was never exactly me, like 100%. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to create my own band, and this is what happened. And Ad Infinitum was born out of this feeling like, oh, she did this in this way, and she made it her way, and I think I'm going to do it too. And then so many others inspired me. It would be a whole new discussion.
Yeah. But it's so nice that because you need to be reflective to understand that, yes, you have bands before, but that they don't cover your whole potential that you have.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like this. When you join a band, you kind of adapt to what they're doing. Whereas when you create your own thing and then you find people who resonate with it, you're all on the same page and you all push the project into one direction. And this is what happened with Ad Infinitum. It's just so interesting because it started as a symphonic metal band, and we all evolved as human beings and as musicians and as songwriters. And it's funny because we all kind of got more into modern stuff, and we were sending each other this band and that band, and we have our playlist together and so on. And it just naturally evolved into something more modern with less to non-symphonic elements, and something that we're very proud of today.
Okay, it's very cool because you also need to be to have the courage to go your own way, and
yeah.
You could be very proud of you.
Thank you.
The music scene is often unpredictable and full of challenges, be it the streaming pressure or the tour stress or financial uncertainties. What are the biggest challenges for you as a band at the moment?
At the moment, I would say, you know, we are a growing band and we depend a lot on promoters or bands taking us, for example, for a festival or for a tour. And we are slowly moving towards having more control over this, but I would say it's been one of the biggest challenges lately. Is, you know, you want to explore new territory, for example, America. You have to find an opportunity with a band who's already been there and who would take us as a support band. And we've done it now, but it's been a lot of, you know, maybe we go, no, we don't go. Maybe this band, no, they don't do it. So it's depending on other people's choices that was very difficult for us. And now, luckily, we are in a position now where we can headline at least in Europe. And that's what we're going to do, actually. And that's going to be a brand new experience, but also with new challenges now, because now we can... I mean, when this happens, we will see our value on the market and see how we take it from there, where we can go from there, and how we make the band go to the next level.
Yeah, that's the it's quite nice to see that there is a growing curve.
Yes.
And but the struggles behind, they are so important to understand.
Yeah.
Because. Now you are on tour with AYT and Infected Rain, and mm-hmm. it's so cool.
Yes.
And if you are if you do a single headlining tour, then you have all the pressure with the with the venues and so on.
It's yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's quite scary, but also exciting.
Yeah.
Because we will finally know our worth on the market somehow. Yeah.
Yeah, but recently, last week, a new study about the streaming gap in the German music market was mm-hmm. released. So, and in it's only for the German market, and they say that 0.1% of the German artists receive 75% of the income from streaming.
Mm-hmm.
And 86% of the artists receive less than €1 per year for his for their music. So it's it's hilarious. I think it's so the question in my head came again: how do you make it with your band? How do you earn money with your band?
Well, I think it's a mix of everything because you know. You're saying 86% of people who release music get less than €1,
yeah.
but it has also to do with the amount of people who release music,
yeah.
and on also an a hobby level.
Yeah,
because there are plenty of releases on all platforms which have maybe 20 plays, 100 plays, which is, I mean, it's great to have a platform for everyone to be heard. But at the end of the day, it's like an album. You know, if you sell one album, you'll get one time €10.
Yeah.
It has to do with the popularity of the artists and how the interest of the public is. The more people stream our music, the more money we make. The more albums we sell, the more money we make. There's, of course... lots of parameters that come into the picture. For example, the contract with the label, how the split is made. If in the contract we decided to take an advance to pay for videos or for production, etc., because we have to also recoup this and reimburse the label if they lend us some money to create the album. So there's a lot of aspects that people don't talk about when there's statistics put out. it depends on all that. And I'm not a hater of the streaming, because we personally, as a band, and me personally, we get some money out of it, and I'm very grateful for it, because it's part of all the you know, like you say, don't put all your eggs in one basket. We get money from streaming, from album sales, from merchandising, from touring, etc. And that's how you build a living as a band and as an artist.
Yeah, it's quite important to understand that the music market, that there are so many to do music, to make music. It's so easy today to record your own music and to release your own music. Mm-hmm. But as you said, the most of the musicians don't do it on a professional level.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then there's, of course, the question of, is the distribution fair? There's been a lot of discussions about how, for example, Spotify shares the money with artists. And this is a completely different topic.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. three questions at the end. Mm-hmm. And the first is, the big tour ends tomorrow. Where can we see you live in summer?
I'm thinking, okay, what is announced? we were playing in May. We have Rock in Hautheim. Mm-hmm. We have a headline show in Cologne. We have a show in Switzerland, in the French speaking part in the festival. Another festival in Nordhorn in Germany. Mm-hmm. I don't have the whole list in my in my mind, but there are a few dates that are on our website. But more importantly, after the summer, we're going for the first time on our own headline tour.
Okay, yeah.
So this is the place where we would love to see a lot of people.
Okay, and after the summer, you will be on several cities in Germany? Or
yes,
where?
Yeah? Absolutely, okay. Yes. I think we have five of the shows are in Germany, something like this. Leipzig, Hamburg, Munich, Berlin.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So then we need to keep eyes and ears open to catch you again.
Yes.
After the summer. Great. And for what you are in the here and now grateful for?
Well, being able to do this on a regular basis, it's something that when you are on tour, I feel like it's important to go back to a few years earlier, maybe 5 or 10, and think, oh, this is exactly what I wanted to do. I wanted to go on tour with my band, to live out of music, and to be able to share our art with a lot of people on stage, and then see people sing and party to what we created. Yeah. And that's what I'm really grateful for.
Okay, then I have an additional question. They are not here. What's your favorite moment at concerts when you're on stage? What is your favorite moment?
I think it's when there's interactions. For example, we have some parts during the set where we talk to the crowd, and then when you see people laughing or people reacting, cheering, I really like this, because this is where I feel like, oh, there's a connection behind the, or beyond the show that is, you know, every day the same.
Yeah. Okay. And my last question for today is, if you had one wish for you, what would you wish for?
Oh, well, I think it's going to sound very, very uninteresting, but I just want to see this band grow and to have one day our own headline tour in big places, in front of thousands of people. I don't know. Yeah, that's the goal.
Yeah, great. I cross my fingers for that.
Thank you.
Because I think it's a very nice wish, because the band, it's your project, and you are so proud of it, and it's totally normal to have this wish, and
I
cross my fingers for you.
Thank you.
Okay, so then, thank you so much, Melissa, to be part of the Metal Mind podcast.
Thank you so much.
And yeah, we look forward to see you after the summer again.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Ja, liebe Hörerinnen und liebe Hörer, damit ist der Metal.de Podcast Metal Minds The Pit Unplugged für heute zu Ende. Wir hatten heute Melissa Bonny von Ad Infinitum im Gespräch. Ich hoffe, euch hat gefallen, was ihr gehört habt. Und nächste Woche, nächsten Sonntag, gibt's eine neue Folge. Seid gespannt, wer da mein Gast ist. Mein Name war, ist und wird es immer sein, Diana Heinbucher. Ich habe euch durch diesen Pit geführt. Ich bin für diesen Podcast verantwortlich und ich wünsche euch eine wunderschöne Zeit. Bis bald. Let him mind.